This is DW News live from Berlin. Russia says it has taken full control of the Azovstal steel plant after Ukrainian officials ordered the last remaining defenders to surrender to save their lives. Also on the program, a former German chancellor finally cuts his ties to Russia's state-owned oil company. Rosneft says Gerhard Schröder is leaving its board. He was facing the threat of EU sanctions over his ties to the Kremlin. And spiking fuel costs spur creativity. We hear from one German woman who's leaving her car at home and exchanging it for a less expensive form of horsepower. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. Russia says it is now fully in control of the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol. Ukrainian soldiers had held on to the plant for weeks despite being surrounded by Russian forces and facing constant bombardment. The order to surrender came from officials in Kyiv, hoping to save the soldiers' lives.
They've been evacuating for days, but the siege of this symbolic battleground appears to be finally over. In a video released, the commander of the Azov battalion says they've been ordered to abandon the defense of Mariupol.
Our commanders have given the order to save the lives of the men and to abandon the defense of the city. Work is underway to bring the bodies of the killed fighters out so that Ukraine can bury its heroes.
Defense experts fear there will now likely be a relocating of Russian forces. Troops from Mariupol could now support the offensive in other parts of eastern Ukraine, where the Russian assault is continuing in full force. Russian state television broadcast images of an offensive in Luhansk. Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky says the bombardment of the Donbas region has been brutal.
This is a deliberate and criminal attempt to kill as many Ukrainians as possible, to destroy as many homes, social institutions, and businesses as possible. This is genocide of the Ukrainian people, and the occupiers will be held accountable and brought to justice.
The governor of the Luhansk region, which is still under Ukrainian control, has reported further attacks where more people have been killed.
DW correspondent Matthias Bullinger is in Kramatorsk, a city in the Donbas region, about 50 kilometres from the fighting. I asked him for an update on the situation in the city.
Well, it's already past curfew, so now I'm in the backyard of my hotel, and the city is eerily quiet, and today, even in the daytime, we've never seen more than three or four people on the street, and that was the absolute maximum. Usually you see no one. Most of the people have left this city because it's the administrative center of the Donbas region, of those parts that are under Ukrainian control, and there were, of course, expectations that something might happen here. The city has been hit by rockets before. There was an attack on the railway station in the beginning of April where many civilians trying to flee the city died, and since then more and more people have left. Fighting is going on mostly northeast of here in Severodonetsk. That's another administrative center in this region. Shelling there is heavy. People die every day, and much of the city has already been destroyed.
Right. Both sides now, Ukraine and Russia, have now confirmed that the Azovstal steel plant is in Russian hands. And what are you hearing?
Yeah, it's what I have been hearing as well. Of course, the Ukrainian, the Azov battalion's commander has released a message today where they have said that they have had the order to give up and to save their lives and not to continue fighting under these conditions where they cannot win anything. They cannot get out. There's nothing they can do. They can just hold on until basically they die there. So they've been given the order to give up, which means to go into to surrender to the Russians, and Russia has now said that all of those who remained, 500, had surrendered. Needs confirmation from the Ukrainian side, but it's in line with what we've been hearing before.
That's Matthias Bullinger reporting from eastern Ukraine. take a look at some other developments in this war. We'll start here in Germany, where the Defense Ministry says it will deliver the first of its 15 Gepard, or Cheetah, anti-air tanks to Ukraine in July. Kyiv's been pleading for more heavy weaponry to battle of Russian troops in the east. Critics accuse Germany of taking too long to deliver military aid. Several people have been injured in a Russian strike on a Ukrainian cultural center. President Zelensky released this surveillance footage of the attack in the town of Lozova in the eastern region of Kharkiv. He said Russian forces deliberately targeted the center. Ukraine accuses Russia of routinely striking civilian targets. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz says Qatar will play a central role in German plans to cut dependence on Russian gas. After talks in Berlin with Qatari Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Al Thani, Chancellor Scholz said Germany would construct infrastructure to import liquefied natural gas by ship. Qatar wants to start sending LNG to Germany by 2024. Finland has signed a deal with a US company to buy liquefied natural gas after Russia said it would halt supplies because Helsinki refused to pay in rubles. Gas only accounts for 5% of Finland's energy needs. Officials say there'll be no disruption to consumers. Now, one of Germany's former chancellors has resigned from the board of Russia's state oil company, Rosneft. Gerhard Schröder was facing mounting criticism over his ties to Russia. And this week, the European Parliament called for him to face sanctions if he didn't quit. Mr. Schröder is also a longtime friend of Vladimir Putin. DW political correspondent Simon Young reports.
For years, Gerhard Schröder has been criticised for his closeness to Russian interests. Some called him the Kremlin's chief lobbyist in Germany. Schröder has refused to criticise the invasion of Ukraine, and he played down crimes committed by Russian forces. Within the SPD, the party that Schröder once led, many felt his views were unacceptable. Calls grew for him either to leave voluntarily or face expulsion. This week, Chancellor Scholz himself added to that pressure. One more thing is important to me, if I may add. It would be best if Gerhard Schröder resigned from his post. Schröder has never made a secret of his friendship with Vladimir Putin. While he was chancellor from 1998 to 2005, he signed the deal to bring Russian gas to Germany via the Nord Stream pipeline through the Baltic Sea. And he raised eyebrows by referring to the Russian leader as a flawless democrat. Soon after leaving office, he accepted a job with Russian energy company Gazprom. He later became chairman of the supervisory board of another Russian oil giant, Rosneft. And he's also on the board of the Nord Stream operating company. Just why Schröder has finally changed tack is not clear. It could be down to a motion in the European Parliament to put him on a list of those with Russian links who could face sanctions, including asset freezes. Maybe the decision by the Bundestag to withdraw privileges, such as a fully staffed office and a driver, forced the ex-chancellor to think again. Whatever the truth, many say Schröder's support for Putin has tarnished Germany's international reputation, and that damage cannot easily be undone.
A report from Simon Young, and a little earlier I asked Simon why he thought it had taken Gerhard Schröder so long to act.
Well, Gerhard Schröder has clearly, you know, he's stuck with Vladimir Putin, his close friend, as he says, for a long time. And, you know, he's stuck with his belief that, you know, Germany should have close energy links with Russia. You know, he said that he doesn't do mea culpas. He's not willing to sort of modify his position. You know, he's been, despite calls, of course, for him to do that, as mentioned there. I think now the heat has been turned up on him, particularly by this decision by the Bundestag to close down his office and remove that sort of privilege that's accorded to former chancellors, and also by this call from the European Parliament that he should be sort of treated like Russian oligarchs and placed on a list of people who could face sanctions. You know, that was if he didn't step back from his role with Russian energy companies. So the pressure's been mounting within his own party, more and more people saying, you know, it's time for him to leave the party and indeed time for him to do the right thing. And so perhaps he's finally been nudged in that direction.
Right. And he said in an interview last month that he'd only go if Russia turned off its gas supply to Germany. So should we read anything into the fact that he's going now?
Yeah, well, of course, actually, it's the other way round, isn't it? Europe is reducing its dependency on Russian gas. And before the war, Germany was getting more than half of its gas supply from Russia, paying more than 200 million euros a day for the privilege. Now that number is falling. The Nord Stream pipeline has been mothballed, and the German government's plan, you know, is to end any Russian gas supply to Germany. So, you know, Gerhard Schröder may once have been an effective salesman for Russian energy in Germany, but now not so much.
Now, Germany's policy of keeping Russia close was always said to be about engagement and encouraging democracy, but Mr. Schröder's ties did seem to be more about personal gain.
Well, that's right. He's reported to have been earning €1 million a year for his role on the boards of various companies. He's been doing this lobbying work insofar as it was possible to lobby for Russian energy interests in Germany lately. But I think his ties with Russia are deeper. He says that friendship with Vladimir Putin is genuine. He also has two adopted children who both came from Russia. But just of late, you know, his remarks about the responsibility for the war in Ukraine lying on both sides and his attempts to sort of play down Russian crimes in Ukraine, I think that has really crossed a red line for many people. You know, his reputation is at an all-time low.
Thank you for that, Simon. DW political correspondent Simon Young. Now, a rare tornado struck parts of western Germany this afternoon, injuring dozens of people and causing severe damage. The twister tore through the city of Paderborn, and police say between 30 and 40 people were injured, 10 of them seriously. Heavy damage was also reported in the nearby town of Lippstadt. Large parts of Germany remain on alert for more severe weather. Now, food and fuel prices have spiked since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the increased costs are causing some people to get creative and rethink some of their typical daily actions. Now, one woman in Germany has decided to leave her car at home and opted for an alternative mode of transport.
It's the morning commute, but not as you know it. With fuel prices spiralling, 33-year-old Stephanie Kirschner decided to opt for a cheaper form of transport, giving up her SUV and travelling the old-fashioned way instead.
I no longer use my Toyota, which only gives me 17 miles per gallon, or even less when I transport things. So if I manage to ride the horse every day, then I save about 250 euros each month on fuel.
She admits her choice of transport is not popular with motorists, but delights the kids in the local village. And although she's able to make the 6-kilometer journey to work, Stephanie accepts it's not ideal for traveling more widely.
You can't just put a horse in a parking garage. It would be nice. I think a lot more people would use horses if more places accommodated them. But I don't think society is ready for that.
With no sign of the fuel crisis abating, for now, Stephanie is determined to stay away from her four wheels and travel on four hooves instead.
In sport, the professional tennis tours have stripped Wimbledon of its ranking points after the Grand Slam event banned players from Russia and Belarus because of the war in Ukraine. The tours, which run the men's, women's, junior and wheelchair events, said they had to stop players from being discriminated against on political grounds. But Wimbledon hit back, with the All England club saying a ban was the only viable decision, given the UK's stance on limiting Russia's global influence. That's it. You're up to date. More world news at the top of the hour. Rob Watts will have your business update in just a moment. Have a good day.